Today's message, I would invite you to get out your Bibles and turn to John, the 20th chapter, beginning at the 19th verse, or maybe you want to make use of the gospel that we've already printed out and emailed to so many of you. John, the 20th chapter, beginning at the 19th verse. There we read, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. So when does this story happen? Well, it's happening on the first day of the week. This is Easter Sunday evening, okay? And where are they? We don't know specifically, but they were someplace behind locked doors there in Jerusalem. Maybe they were back at the upper room. We don't know for sure. But there they are, and they're behind locked doors. Why locked doors? For fear of the Jews. Oh, they had every right to be afraid. The Jewish authorities had already captured Jesus, beaten Jesus, and crucified Jesus. And they knew that they, as his disciples, they were next on the list. Therefore, they are in hiding and behind locked doors. But even though all the doors are locked, what suddenly happens? Suddenly, the risen Lord Jesus is standing there right in their midst, and they are terrified. So what does Jesus say? Peace, peace be with you. Now, how did Jesus do that? Suddenly appear in the room behind locked doors? Well, it's the miracle of his resurrected body. Amazing. The resurrected body, it's physical, and yet our resurrected bodies will be able to do things that we can't begin to imagine right now. Verse 20. When Jesus had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So he's proving to them, yes, it's me, the one who was crucified, your Lord, your Savior, your Rabbi, the Christ, risen from the dead. He shows them the nail prints and the side where they put the spear. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, and their fear and their terror is changed into joy. I think it's great to remember what are the very first words Jesus speaks to his disciples. Peace be with you. And then in verse 21, it says, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Twofold already. In his opening words, he says, peace be with you. Notice that Jesus does not come to his disciples with words of blame or anger or condemning or accusing or judging or wrath. Certainly could have done all of that. These are the ones who denied him. These are the ones who fled from him when he needed them the most. These are the ones who were not there for him. Oh, Jesus could have come and said, hey, you were with me for 3 years. What more do you need? Why'd you leave me? Why'd you forsake me? Why'd you deny me? But no, that's not what Jesus says. He comes to them and he says, peace, peace be with you. Verse 22, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Isn't this amazing? Jesus now commissions the very ones who have failed him, betrayed him, denied him. He commissions them to be his ambassadors, his witnesses. Jesus commissions, he sanctifies the unworthy. We must understand. What is Jesus teaching all of us in this moment? Not just the disciples, but you and me today. He is teaching us that following him, serving Jesus, is not about us somehow earning some sort of holy status of perfection. Oh, in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our failures, in the midst of all that we have done wrong, he claims us, just like he claimed those first disciples. And he sanctifies us, and he empowers us, he forgives us, and he sends us forth. And it's all because it's all about grace. It's all about grace. It's not about us. It's all about him. Praise God. And in that power of his love and grace and forgiveness, he makes us his own, and he sends us out to be his witnesses. And just look at what he gives to us as his disciples. Verse 22. When he had said this, he breathed on them. Now, isn't that an interesting phrase? He breathed on them. And he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Or some translations read, if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Many have said that in the Gospel of John, this is the Gospel of John's Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And with the giving of the Holy Spirit is this giving of the what we call the office of the keys, the power to forgive sins and the power to retain the sins, the power to withhold forgiveness to those who are not repentant. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. For centuries, we have referred to this as the office of the keys that unlock either the gates of heaven or unlock the gates of hell. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. But if you withhold forgiveness from someone because they are not repenting, because they are not turning from their sins, then that forgiveness is withheld. They are still in their sins. They are not forgiven. The power of the office of the keys. That power of the office of the keys is given to the church of Jesus Christ. But for the sake of good order, because it is such a powerful gift that Christ gives to us here in our Lutheran church, we say that we want our pastors to be the one who exercise the office of the keys and this incredible gift from God. It happens right here every single Sunday morning. You've already experienced it right in our worship service. Listen again to these words spoken by the pastor in the absolution. When the pastor declares to those who have ask for God's forgiveness. What does the pastor say? In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. Now notice, it continues. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, by Christ's authority, not Larson's authority, not the authority of First English Lutheran Church or the North American Lutheran Church or LCMC, not by any of those authority, but by the authority of the risen Christ himself, by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the all-powerful name of our mighty God. You see, Jesus wants you to know that when you hear these words, you are forgiven. And therefore, he gives this authority to us, his church. For the sake of the good order in our Lutheran churches, it's exercised by our ordained pastors. So it is not abused, so it is not misused. But Christ gives this authority on Easter to his church so that you and I might know the joy of forgiveness here and now and not doubt it, but to have, to receive the joy of our sins washed away through the power of Christ's resurrection here and now. Here also in these words, we see Jesus giving the gift of his Holy Spirit, even as God gave life to Adam at creation by breathing into Adam. Remember the story? So now, God, at the dawn of his new creation in Easter's glory, he breathes into us, his church, his body, the very breath of his resurrected life. He breathes into us the breath of God, the Holy Spirit. And therefore, with this Easter miracle comes the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us. The first creation, God breathes into Adam. Now, at the dawn of God's new creation in Easter glory, he breathes into us this gift of his Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit that we receive in holy baptism. And what is this Spirit? We are told that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that God raised Jesus from the dead. It is this same Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our risen Lord Jesus, the same power by which God raised Jesus from the dead, that he breathes into you and me so that we might become temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the presence of the risen Christ living, dwelling within us. Yes, in Christ. You are God's new creation. Listen again to these words from Jesus in John, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 25th verse. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Going back to today's Easter gospel, verse 24, the story about Thomas. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." I think Thomas gets a bad rap. Of all the disciples, he's the one we call Doubting Thomas. And it's because of this Easter story. But there's more to Thomas than just this Easter story. Because also in the Gospel of John, we hear this other story about John, about Thomas. It's in John, the 11th chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. And it happens right after Lazarus has died. And Jesus says, "Okay, let's go to Lazarus." Well, you have to realize Jerusalem is here on Mount Sinai, okay? Here's the Kidron Valley. Here's the Mount of Olives. Right over the hill on the Mount of Olives, over here is Bethany, and that's where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived, right there. And then here's the Judean wilderness, and down over here is the beautiful, lush Jordan River Valley. And that's where Jesus has been staying with his disciples. And Jesus says, "Lazarus has died. Let's go to him." And the disciples are horrified because they know that Bethany is just over the hill of the Mount of Olives, just right next to Jerusalem. And they know that the Jews are looking to find Jesus so that they can kill him. So they know that for Jesus to leave this wonderful, safe place down in the lush Jordan River Valley and to go to Bethany, just over the hill from Jerusalem, you're just asking to be killed. And they're horrified. And it's in that context that this happens. John 11, verse 14. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Verse 16. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go with him, that we too might die with him. Wow. Why don't we call Thomas faithful Thomas? Why don't we call him courageous Thomas? Why don't we call him loyal Thomas? Why don't we call him, Lord, I'm ready to die with you, Thomas? I think Thomas gets a bad rap. We might ask ourselves, why of all the disciples wasn't Thomas there with the rest of the apostles on that first Easter when Jesus appeared to them? Why was he not there? And I would speculate. This is not in the Bible. I'm just speculating. It's Larson's speculation. I'm just wondering. Maybe Thomas was so grief-stricken, so sorrowful, so broken that he withdrew from the fellowship of the disciples. Sometimes people do that in their grief. Instead of coming together with those who can bless them and carry them and encourage them and hold them, sometimes they withdraw. We learn from this story that is not a good thing to do. It's not a wise thing to do. For when we're separated from the body of Christ, when we're separated from our brothers and sisters in Jesus, then we are missing the blessing of the resurrected Christ. We miss Easter. We miss the hope. We miss the love. We miss the joy. Oh, truly, we need each other. It is not healthy for the body of Christ to be apart. And that's why it is so wonderful that even though physically we might be apart, we are still being united through these live streaming services. Isn't that awesome? What an incredible gift God gives to you and to me. We can come together in this worship and bless one another because the Holy Spirit is within you and it's within those gathered here. And united in God's Holy Spirit, we are still one in him and he in us. We can bless one another through these experiences. And also, we become aware that it's so important that, especially in these times, if the Holy Spirit lays upon your heart or your mind, someone that might be alone, might need a phone call, call them up. Call them up. Bless them with a listening ear. Bless them with a word of encouragement. Bless them with a word of love and joy. Because it is in Christian fellowship that God heals us and he comforts us and he carries us and loves us and encourages us. So that we can do that together through the gifts of technology God is giving to us. Yes, just pick up the phone and be a blessing of the risen Christ to someone today. Verse 26, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Now that's the third time, threefold. Peace. Verse 27, then Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. I love it. I love it. Jesus meets Thomas right where he is at. Thomas needs a hands-on Jesus. And Jesus said, here I am, go for it. It's a wonderful reminder that Jesus will meet each one of us in the midst of our needs. He will be there for you and for me to give to us that promise of his love and his salvation. Verse 28, Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Oh, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We read these words in verse 30. And John is writing, and this is toward the end of his gospel. He says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." What is John telling us? He wants you and me to know that our Christian faith is not based on empty, made-up stories. It's not based on fairy tales. Oh, but it is based on the powerful miracles that were seen, that were witnessed, that were recorded, that were written down by those very first disciples. Why? So that we too might know and see and believe and be saved. And also share this good, glorious news with others. What does Jesus say in John 14, verse 27? "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Oh, in the midst of this pandemic, we are certainly in unprecedented times of uncertainty. People are feeling uncertain about their health. They're feeling uncertain about the economy of our country and the economy of the world. They're feeling uncertain about their job, the next paycheck. There's so many things that could just fill our hearts and minds with worry because of the uncertainties, the unknowns. But what does Jesus say? "My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. My peace I give to you. Therefore, receive my peace." The promise of Easter. The promise of my presence with you. The promise that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. My peace. "Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid." Let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Amen.